I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's the show.
It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, sorry.
Let's get started. Hey there. We've been gone for a little bit, but we're back with another episode of Off Bites. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Chris.
So, Chris, I have to ask you the most important question of the year. Have you been having a brat summer while we're off?
Absolutely. And I know you put this question in here as a joke, but I actually think that album is one of the best ones of the year. And if you don't know what we are talking about, there is a Charlie XCX album that came out this summer called Brat, and it is very good pop music.
It really is. I was kind of resistant to it. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to listen to it. And then I had it on while I was working and I started like dancing in my chair at the end of 365. And I was like, wow, this has got me. I learned the dance to Apple. I'm all in on Brat.
I didn't know there was a dance to it, but I'm also not on TikTok.
Oh, it's on. I saw it on my Instagram, actually, because I'm like a little old to be on TikTok all the time. But it's pretty simple. I don't know if I have the timing exactly right. I've never learned one of those social media dances before, but I love the song and I'm like, I want to know it.
I hope you have a burner TikTok account somewhere where there's just some obscure username and it's you doing all the TikTok dances.
Oh my God, no. Nobody needs to see that. Not even Burner Lauren. But so I did put this in as a joke, and then I was going to ask you if you were having a pink pony summer or a hot dragon summer, but it seems pretty clear that we've both been having a brat summer, so I love that for us.
I think so. And the pink pony song is really catchy. I haven't listened to as much of Chappelle Roan, and I have no idea what a hot dragon summer is.
Well, I think you should try Hot to Go, by the way, for Chapel Roan during your spin classes, because I think you guys can maybe do the dance a little bit. And then Hot Dragon Summer is really just something that I made up because I've been watching a lot of House of the Dragon, but I don't think anyone else is using it.
My wife watches it, but I never got into Game of Thrones in the first place. So I'm kind of in the room sometimes, but I have no context for anything.
Avoiding Game of Thrones is a good move.
It started out as just being contrarian, and then I just never wanted to catch up.
It was heartbreaking, honestly. I rewatched that too this summer because I was watching House of the Dragon and I was like, that ending wasn't as bad as everyone said it was. It is. It's bad. So sorry to the writers of that, but
they didn't ask you to write it. So
exactly. Yeah, I would have done so much better.
Well, while my wife watches House of Dragons, sometimes I just sit there and scroll for odd news stories.
That's right. And I've been trying to help as well. If you're new to this show, that's really what we do here on Off Bites episodes. Some of these stories that we try to find for the show are too weird not to share, but we're not able to get to them in our regular episodes with Mike.
It's kind of like if your Twitter feed could just talk at you.
Exactly.
But this week, we're looking into unattractive hobbies and celebrities doing dangerous things. We're also mourning the death of the $5 footlong from Subway.
As always, we want to hear from our listeners about comments on what we talk about or story ideas. You can send them to us on X, where I'm Lauren Berry 91. Our host, Mike Rogers, is at KRLD Mike Rogers. And you can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
And on X, I'm at Chris C. Blake.
So our first story comes from the New York Post, and it's about unattractive hobbies for men. So how this all came about is Liz Wheeler, she's a right-wing commenter. She made this polarizing post on X where she posted this graph. It was made as a joke by an unnamed person, but it showed that playing video games was the most unattractive hobby for men. And she said that that was so true. And this post and her saying that video games were unattractive, it got more than 18 million views, and a lot of it was backlash. I took a look at the graph that she posted. Hold on, let me pull it up really quick. I thought that the hobbies listed on it were super funny. And I have to just tell you what they were. In addition to playing video games, which was considered the most unattractive, I guess, the second was collecting figurines. The third was magic tricks. Then there was online trolling, gambling, building model trains, taxidermy, comic book collecting, and bird watching. And I have to say, I mean, I know a lot of guys who like to play video games, and maybe they collect stuff. Maybe they like to go to the casino once in a while. But a lot of these, I've never met any man who has them as a hobby. So I wanted to ask you, Chris, do you enjoy taxidermy or building model trains?
All of the above. This is a very specific list, and I feel like I don't really do any of the hobbies on this list. I've never been a gamer. I think that's the one that would be the easiest to get into. I have like a few bobbleheads. I don't know if that counts as collecting figurines. I think it more means like action figures.
Yeah. I know there's like some people that like paint stuff, which is cool. I mean, your hobby's your hobby. I feel like I don't really think video gaming is an unattractive hobby. It's definitely more attractive than taxidermy.
I was going to ask you, as a woman, what is the least attractive on the list?
I'd say maybe gambling, because like you're going to, I don't want people, like if I'm with someone, I don't want them to be losing money all the time. But taxidermy is weird. Like if I met a guy and he's like, I love to stuff dead animals and have them around my house, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know if we're doing the second date.
Yeah. The gambling one is, I feel like, really easy to fall into right now, yeah, because there's so much like sports betting on your phone. True. That people can do, and people can get sucked into that very mm-hmm. quickly.
And but, I mean, like, if you don't do it all the time, like I've, you know, there was like a casino near my restaurant that I worked at when I was younger, and we would like go once in a while, and it was kind of fun. I wouldn't gamble more than like $5. But if you're like a hardcore gambler, you know, that's like a condition you need help. But if you just do it once in a while for like fantasy football, that's fine.
I always like the idea of gambling. Obviously, we don't have casinos in Texas, but you can just drive across the border to Oklahoma. It's like an hour and a half to the Red River. We go up there. I'll even take out like a little bit of money and be like, okay, this is what I'm okay with losing. And even before I get to what I took out, if I lose like $60, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Same. I feel like we're both kind of like, I'm such a control freak about stuff. Like it's not enjoyable for me to like, it's up to chance. I'm like, no. I want to know exactly what's going to happen to the money I get. It makes me very nervous. So usually I just like get a martini and watch other people gamble.
Cause my mind goes to, well, I could buy tickets to something. I could go to dinner. There's a lot of things I could actually get something for this money, as opposed to just flushing it down the toilet.
So yeah, I would say the least attractive here would be the taxidermy. Other ones seem, and the online trolling, like being mean to people for no reason. That doesn't seem great.
Yeah, just don't do that. Be nice.
Yeah, that's not, is that a hobby? That's also like, it seems like more of a compulsion than a hobby, but
yeah. So what are you into? To being a jerk.
I love to be cruel to people on the internet. So fun. Yeah, that would probably be a hard pass. What about for women? You know, if you weren't married, this is like way before you got married, and a woman told you she had any of these as a hobby.
It's kind of hard to do this without a list like you had the advantage of having. But
that's true, putting you on the spot.
But I did a quick Google search, and I do agree with the thing that comes up the most. Mm-hmm. And that is, I feel like our friendship might end, astrology.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, I guess if you take it really seriously. If I met a guy that was really into astrology, I would be confused.
I think it's fine if you're a little into it, but you run into people every once in a while that are like, oh, we would never work because he's a Cancer or he's a Taurus or we're twin flames, or I don't know what any of the words I'm saying mean right now.
Yeah, I could see that being off-putting. Definitely.
So, and I don't know if that's necessarily a hobby. I guess it is for some people.
I think, yeah, for some people it is. Some people it's more of like a belief system-ish. I don't know. It depends.
Another one that came up on Google is being a Swiftie, but I don't want to get canceled.
We've talked about my semi-Swiftie-dom. I definitely don't think I count. Like, I've never been to a Swiftie show or anything, and I really only like one album, but I support them.
No, I think your level of Swiftiness is fine. It's when it gets to the point of that it's the centerpiece of someone's whole personality where it's like, that's a little much. And,
you know, some of the Swifties, I would say that their hobby is being an online troll. We might have to edit this out or I'm going to get canceled.
We'll leave it in. Well, our next story has to do with one of the biggest movie stars of the 90s, apparently eating something online that caused fans to freak out. Alicia Silverstone seemed to channel her character from Clueless as she decided to sample an orange berry she picked from a London garden. And it's a berry that turned out to be poisonous. She posted a clip of herself eating a Jerusalem cherry on TikTok, leaving many of her more than 4 million followers aghast. After she held the berry up for the camera, she said, "I don't think you're supposed to eat this," and asked her followers to help her find out what it was. A few days later, she went on Instagram to update everyone that she was alive and well and that she did not swallow the cherry.
I was actually concerned for her in the in-between period between the viral video and her announcement that she was fine.
I think we talked in between that period and you were like, I don't even know if she's alive.
I did. I was like, I hope she's fine. I was a huge fan. I mean, I still am. I love Clueless. I had a VHS of that and I would watch it like all the time. I've probably seen that movie hundreds of times. So she's almost like a relative to me, you know?
I would assume that she's smart enough not to eat it. Although I would be nervous that if something could kill you, I would be nervous to even just put it in my mouth, even if I knew as soon as I turned off my phone, I was going to spit it out.
Yeah, that is... I wish she didn't do it. That's risky behavior. I guess that it's from like, it's a nightshade and some nightshades are so poisonous that they could kill you. But, there was like an expert who said it probably would just cause like some gastrointestinal distress if she had a lot of them. So there wasn't any risk that she was really going to die, but still picking up strange berries off of trees and eating them. Don't do it, please.
This almost falls into the category of what we just did an episode on, which unfortunately involved someone eating a spicy chip and passing away. But yeah, doing stuff for views on social media, if it involves eating something dangerous, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. And like I don't know, plants in the city. Like there's like berries and stuff on trees in my neighborhood, but there's like, I don't know, there's gross stuff in the air, industrial stuff. And even if you could eat it, I don't know if I would.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller behind the scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I don't know if we've talked about him yet on this podcast, but Our next story is about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He was, for a lot of this year, an independent candidate for president. He recently suspended that campaign and backed Trump. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is a story that came out this week. I'm actually looking into it today for an article about how RFK Jr. Reportedly transported a marine mammal skull. And he's kind of under heat for this action by the Center for Biological Diversity Action Fund. And the allegation here is that he cut off a whale's head with a chainsaw. This was around 1994. He found it washed up on Squaw Island near Hyannisport, Massachusetts. His daughter, Kik Kennedy, told Town and Country magazine this in 2012. So he apparently bungee corded this whale head to the roof of the family minivan. And Kik Kennedy said that every time he accelerated on the highway, whale juice would pour into the windows of the car. She called it, quote, the rankest thing on the planet. She said that, you know, they had plastic bags on their head with holes for their mouths and that people were pointing at them. But she's like, that was just normal life for us at the times. So they were used to this type of thing. And if that seems like a strange comment, you probably haven't heard of a story that came out earlier this month about Kennedy admitting to leaving a dead bear cub in Central Park in New York City. According to that report, Kennedy was already 60 years old, so it wasn't when he was like a teenager or something. So he was a grown man, and he thought it would be funny to drive to Central Park and put the bear there so it looked like a person hit the bear, you know, while they were riding their bicycle. And then the next day, the bear was discovered by women who were walking their dogs. And then there was an investigation by the New York Police Department. It was just a whole mess. And I'm not really sure how that's supposed to be funny. A lot of other people are confused about it, too. Those are just a few RFK Jr. stories. We can't get into all of them, like the brain worms and more. But so I've been talking a lot about this. What's your impression of the whale head story?
I mean, the first thing that kind of comes to mind, knowing the Central Park story as well, is that somehow there is still a not zero number of people that wanted him to be the president of the United States.
5% of the electorate, according to polls, right before he suspended his campaign. I think we might have to fact check me on this, but I think Alicia Silverstone was one of them, which kind of tracks, considering the Barry thing.
I'll fact check you in real time. She apparently endorsed RFK in the summer of 2023. She got on the bandwagon early.
Yes. So, okay.
There's also a lot of headlines that come up about RFK reimbursing her $400 for vegan cheese, but I don't know where that came from.
So, Anna, like, would you rather eat vegan cheese or questionable cherry from a tree?
Vegan cheese, because it's probably not going to kill me. It might not taste that great, but you're probably going to live.
So would you ever consider transporting a whale from, I don't know, Dallas to Austin?
No. Well, I don't think I would find a whale in either city.
Probably not.
But it is just odd that an adult male is, and it's not hunting. Like, this is not hunting. He's finding dead animals and just picking them up.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's a very different thing than going hunting or fishing.
I don't know. He's an environmentalist. He's an environmental lawyer.
Supposedly. So. No, well, I believe that he's an environmental lawyer, but I don't feel like someone who cares that much about the environment would mutilate dead animals.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't come across dead animals that often. It seems like he does too often.
You're just hanging out in the wrong parts of the world.
For a normal person, I don't think you should be encountering dead animals that often.
I mean, except for this.
Or touching them.
Definitely not touching them. I mean, I see squirrels that were hit by cars, but that's probably it.
Yeah. You know, I've seen a dead rat or two in the city, but yeah, I definitely don't want to touch them.
And our last story this week, or this episode, I guess I should say, unfortunately, has to do with Subway's $5 footlong, which appears to be going away. Subway is offering a value meal for all of its footlong sandwiches now. So they won't still be the iconic $5, but they also won't be $14, which they apparently were in some markets. Starting last week, all footlongs now cost $6.99. That doesn't, not quite as catchy as $5 footlong, but you lose the alliteration there. But it does put Subway in line with other fast food chains like McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, and others that are looking to offer consumers a break and increase foot traffic that has been declining in the industry. Subway says the deal will cover all 22 of its sandwich types, and customers will be able to customize the subs however they like. So some of my questions here are more about toppings and stuff like that, because is it really going to be $6.99 if you ask for all the extras?
That was my thought as well. Like, is it going to, like, you could get that up to, I don't know about 14, but like you could get that up to $10, I'm sure, if you need extra toppings and stuff.
Yeah, because we know avocado / guacamole is extra.
Yeah. I wonder if it's better to go with like one of the pre-selected ones and then like you get a bunch of toppings for the $6.99 price. I have to say, I used to get Subway a lot in college because it was like in the cafeteria, but I definitely would not spend $14 for a foot long. Sorry, Subway.
I used to go to Subway a lot in the couple years after college, but it's not a place I've been much recently. I feel like I eat a lot less fast food than I used to. And I don't know if that's just getting older and making smarter choices, but it also does seem like, as the article kind of mentioned, that I think fewer people overall are eating fast food on a regular basis. Like, I'll do it every once in a while, but there's probably a time when it was a couple times a week.
I think it's because like fast food is getting more expensive and you're like, I can't pay $14 for like that. I could like make a footlong sub easier for less money, probably.
I also think there's better quick options now. Like they're not fast food, but like a Chipotle type place where you walk up to the counter, like that doesn't take that much longer and it feels like you're getting better food.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
For a price that's like a dollar or two more.
Yeah. At Chipotle, I feel like the bowl that's like $10, $12. Like, I feel like that's a better deal. Sorry. I don't mean to be like trashing Subway, but.
I know. Are we just sitting here like advertising for other brands?
I think it's nice of them. Here's what I'm going to say about Subway. I think it's good that they reacted to consumer sentiment and are like, that's a pretty good deal. Like $5 footlong, I feel like I remember those commercials when I was in middle school. So with inflation and everything and all the years past, like keeping it just $2 more is a pretty, pretty good deal. If you're in an area where Subway is going to be easy and you're really, really craving, I don't know.
I don't know how they're going to afford to pay all their spokespeople. They've got like Steph Curry and Serena Williams and got a lot of celebrities on there.
Okay. I do love at Subway, and this doesn't have anything to do with the sandwiches, but they have the best cookies.
Their cookies are really good. They always have been.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's kind of a sleeper thing. If you haven't had a Subway cookie, go there and get one. What do you get on your Subways? Like, what do you get from Subway?
I haven't been to Subway in a really long time. If I go to a sandwich place, I mix it up. Depends on how I'm feeling. The basic is probably like turkey, some sort of cheese. And then I get a lot of toppings. That's where like most of the vegetables, if they have like some places do oil and like seasonings, all that stuff.
I'm all about it. I remember when I used to get it in college, I was like obsessed with banana peppers. So I don't remember anything else. It could have just been banana pepper sandwich.
Banana peppers on a sandwich are really good.
They are.
And in a salad. Banana peppers are just good. Why don't we have more of them?
I know. I am on the banana pepper lobby as well. I had them over the weekend, actually, with calamari. Thank you guys for listening to this round of weird stories with us for Off Bites. We'll see you next week with a new episode featuring, of course, our host, Mike Rogers.
The episode with Mike will be on vampire bacteria. You'll find out when I do what that means. And then we look forward to a couple of other episodes on social media influencers and dolphins that are lonely.
Can't wait. Excited to hear about it. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.